You are the light to my heart and my soul. And run to the Lord for a moment, because without Him anointing, you know what's going to come out, don't you? A lot of flesh. Not interested in any flesh coming out. Looking for the Holy Spirit to bring forth what He wants in order to bring forth what He desires out of each of us, so that we may be blessed. So Lord Jesus, without Your anointing, this isn't going to produce anything. But we're asking now to anoint the words, anoint the ears to receive it, anoint the hearts with an openness so that the Holy Spirit may have His way. In Jesus' name, I pray. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 is kind of a challenge. It's a letter to me, as well as to the rest of us. It says, I warn and counsel the elders among you and pastors and spiritual guides of the church. As a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify, I'm using the Amplified so you'll hear the extra words, of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory that is to be revealed or unfolded, etc. Verse 2, tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God that is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly. Not dishonorably motivated by the advantages and profits, but eagerly and cheerfully. Not as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons, domineering over those in your charge, but being examples Now, I have a big red star in my Bible on that one. Being an example, being someone that others will get jealous of spiritually, is the goal of every man and woman in authority in a church. That's the goal. If they get jealous of you, that's a good thing. If they're talking behind your back, that's a good thing. Because otherwise, you wouldn't be doing God's work. So some of the pressure is bound to come when you're doing God's work. Okay? Because the enemy is not going to be happy with you, and some people won't be happy with you. Did you ever conceive that? It says, being examples, pattern and model of Christian living to the flock or the congregation. And then, when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. You will win. Now, the chief shepherd is who? Christ himself. Amen? Now, if he was rejected and crucified, don't you think it would be a common thing for you to get a little bit of the same? It says that it is normal for a believer to receive some form of persecution. Otherwise, you could not be put in jail for being a believer. Amen? Is there enough evidence against you? How many know that at least one person would like to put you in jail? Okay, good. Likewise, you that are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility. In other words, go into the ditches with those that are in the ditches. Walk with them in the river if they're feeling like they're walking in a river of muck and mire, because they will not be able to go through it unless somebody gives them a hand. And I can remember one time there was a person that came to me very depressed, wanting to go in the wrong direction, doing some bad stuff to themselves. And I heard the Lord just before they came into my office door say, don't expect or lay any weight on that one. Don't put any pressure. Don't put any weight. You take on what they're carrying. So they came in. We sat down. We anointed with oil. We asked for permission to tape the session, because I taped every session. And they didn't want to. And I says, well, then we can't go any further. I'm not making this tape for me. I'm taking it for you. Oh, well, by all means, go ahead. See the fear? So we made a tape. And the Lord began to remind this individual that when you're down in the garbage pit, you feel that you're all alone and nobody really cares. And the depression is so heavy that this person is under the rug with the bugs. And you got to go down there with them and help them out. It's not by scolding them that you're going to get anywhere. It's by releasing grace and mercy and compassion and understanding and saying, I remember when I was in a depressed state, someone came to me and held my hand. Somebody came to me and prayed for me instead of scolding me back into sanity. Did you ever get scolded back into sanity and you couldn't do it? Am I the only one? Okay? Am I the only one? I'm the only one? Gee. There, I don't know. I'll take that, but I might have a different opinion. Yeah, I know. See, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so
that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance towards one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, the opposed, and opposes and frustrates. God opposes and frustrates and defeats them. It's not you that can do it. But if you encourage the one that is hurting and brings them what? It says, but gives grace, favor, blessings to the humble. Now, Proverbs 3:34 confirms it. So God frustrates, not your job. That person isn't enough frustration. They don't need your additional pressure. Amen? Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself. Demote. Lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Jesus. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Psalms 55, verse 22 confirms it. Be well balanced, temperate, sober-minded, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of you, for that enemy of yours, the devil roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Just kind of a little word here to try to give you understanding. When someone is going through a real hardship, if they can sense someone else helping to support their concern, they're going to be able to come out of it. And it's going to take a little bit of time, and you need to be there to kind of help to remove some of the weight, some of the pressure, some of the discouragement, and to encourage them that they're not expected to pray for themselves. How many find it very difficult to pray for yourself? It's hard, because you know all about you. Now, if you bring comfort to the person that's having a hard time by interceding for them and praying for them, they will not only get the fruit, but at the same time, they won't have the pressure of reprimand. Later on, the Holy Spirit, in his mighty way, will come in a gentle wind, and he'll just start blowing that stuff away, a little piece at a time, and you won't get any of the glory because he'll do it all. Okay? Verse 9. Withstand the enemy. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed. I don't like that word. Are appointed to your brotherhood. The whole body of Christians throughout the world. Appointed. Earlier when we had Holy Communion, I reminded you that the Holy Spirit compelled our Savior to go into the desert. Yeah. What does it say here? The same identical sufferings are appointed. Appointed. Hardships are appointed by God. To see what? If you'll develop some spiritual muscles. If you'll do your push-ups, if you'll do a little bit of responding to the enemy. Why? Because you need to develop your spiritual muscles. You need to push back a little bit. And you know, it's okay to get a baseball bat and use it on him once in a while. Why? Because you see, if you use the word of God against him, Jesus always responded, it is written. If you don't know how to defend yourself, he's going to get the best of you. So it's important that you get to know some of the word to respond. So in other words, what's happening to you is very normal. sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, that God, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. Ha ha. So while you're working on yourself, he's saying you're going to get very tired. Does it say he himself? Say it with me. Jesus himself will complete me. He will make me what I ought to be. He'll establish me. He'll ground and securely make me strong and settle me to where I need to be. I can relax. I can have early retirement. Yeah. To him be the dominion, power, authority, and rule forever and ever. Amen. Now, when you look at this word and you read it, it almost seems like fiction. To the natural mind, how can God complete me? How can God make me what I ought to be? If you gave him permission, he's going to do it. Now, will he do it overnight? That was my prayer. And I remember a gentleman years ago named Kenneth Copeland, who gave me a major lesson on this. Kenneth was actually in Rhema Bible School at the time, I believe, or had just gotten done. And had gotten a series of his tapes, and I'm listening to him because I was frustrated. I wanted to be completed yesterday. Okay? And I figured I was old enough, and blah, 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 and I had given God a song and dance, and I'm listening to Kenneth, and of course, Kenneth had the same problem. And he was pushing God's buttons. John Paul Jackson had the same problem a few years later on, and he shared with the same thing with me, and he said, all of a sudden, he thought his brain was literally like in a dishwasher. He could feel the vibrations. And he said, God, this is unbelievable. I can't even function. The Lord says, well, do you want me to still accelerate? Do you want me to still push your buttons to make you grow faster? Or will you trust me that my timing is good? Kenneth Copeland. John Paul Jackson. I can include me, and probably some of you. Don't push God's buttons. Okay? My little great-granddaughter is a year and a half, and she's already an expert on buttons. I mean, we even got a remote for her without batteries, because if you try to take it away from her, she gives you a song and a dance, and she really can't yet communicate, but she will give you a song and a dance. And she likes her own remote. Okay? She's a year and a half. one of her uncles gave her a little dog. It's only about yay long. And the button on his head just turns him on, and he dances around, and he barks three times. And the button is like, my God, the head of a pencil. And she literally just gently pushes his button and gets him going. And it is actually a comedy routine to see that little finger push that little tiny button. You see, God doesn't like his button pushed. Even by us, when we're acting so sweetly, thinking we're so smart, he can make us bark, and we will bark if it goes too fast. Because that was the lesson. God will complete us in his timing. We have a tendency to go fast because we want it to be yesterday all over. It's not going to be that way. He's got a perfect plan to bring us to perfection. And you know what? He's going to do a good job. Just do me a favor. Put your hand over your heart. Close your eyes.
Say, Lord Jesus, if I've been pushing your buttons, trying to make you move faster, and bringing frustration into myself, I ask you to forgive me. Your word is clear. Your timing is perfect. I'm going to rejoice right where I am by choice. Because you've got a plan to complete me. It's a great plan, including the timing. Amen? So do a good job, Lord. Keep teaching me, and I'll keep giving all the glory to you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.